Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Running the race of life requires inner strength, strength forged through spiritual disciplines. Today, we explore the second of Dr. Erwin Lutzer's five disciplines that grow godliness and hear what God had to say to Joshua about meditation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on disciplines that grow godliness, Dr. Erwin Lutzer turns our attention to the discipline of meditation.
During the next few moments, I want you to visualize and to think about what the greatest obstacle might be that stands between you and really walking with God. What river is it in your life that you always seem to come to and the bridge is blown out and you can never quite get across it? What is it that hinders you and me? In order to jog your memory or to help you, I may list some possibilities that could be in your life or mine. It might be a painful relationship, either within your family or within your marriage or in your upbringing, and it has brought you a lot of pain and you are struggling with forgiveness, and bitterness seems to have clouded your soul. Maybe it is a health problem. It may be an addiction, a sin of the flesh that you keep going back to, and it has you bound, and try as you might, you can't seem to be free. Maybe it is a sin of the past. Maybe an abortion that you had many years ago, but you can't get over it. You can't seem to accept it. You can't relish in the good knowledge that God has forgiven you, and it is ever before you. Maybe an immoral relationship or having hurt someone very deeply and you know that you can't rectify it. Any one of these things or a combination thereof can stand in the way between us and walking with God. And what I want you to do today is to think about that, because in a few moments I hope to share with you a plan whereby I believe that your world can be changed. Not your outer world. Maybe all of the problems that I've listed, at least some of them, might still be there, but your inner world would be so at peace that you can walk with God despite the fact that your outer world maybe has not changed a whole lot. What if I were to share a plan like that with you? And in a few moments, I hope to. You know that this is the second in a series of messages entitled Disciplines That Grow Godliness. Last time we spoke on the discipline of worship, this time the discipline of meditation. And if there would be one verse of Scripture that would epitomize what we're trying to get at, it would be 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, which says, "Be disciplined for godliness." We don't like that word discipline, do we? We think that it belongs in the same category as martyrdom. We'd prefer to be holy in a hurry, to have some injection of spirituality that will change us, and we don't like that word discipline. Yet Paul says we should be disciplined for godliness and holiness. What I want you to do is to take your Bible and to turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, and I will spell out a program by which I believe God can change us deeply on the inside. And after I've done that, you tell me after the message whether or not I have overpromised. Sometimes we as pastors do that, and it'll be up to you to decide. Joshua is about to enter into the land. Moses is dead, and now the responsibility falls on this young man. And we pick up the text in chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord is speaking to him. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's paint the context that Joshua faced. Here he was up against a tremendous enemy, all of the cities that were in the land of Canaan, Jericho being first on the map geographically. He was up against people, and he knew that he was outclassed, he was outmatched, and he was outnumbered. Just think of the contrast for a moment. On the one hand, the Canaanites had much better equipment. Israel had the staff, the staves that they had for some of their animals, and that was about all, whereas the Canaanites actually had iron. They had weapons of warfare that Israel had never even used, much less had in their possession. Think also of the fact that they were better fortified. The Canaanites had walled cities that went up to heaven. Bit of an exaggeration, but perhaps 20 or 30 feet high and 10 or 15 feet across. Strong fortifications. And if you know anything about battles, you know that really the ratio is that it really takes 1 in 10 to hold a fortification. It takes 10 to wrest it from the person who is holding it. It is much easier to be on the top of a hill with a few people and to stave off an entire army, it can be done. Here are the Israelites in tents. Here are the giants in the land in these walled fortifications in these cities. And of course, that is the other contrast, is that the Canaanites were bigger physically. The Bible says that there were giants in the land in those days. It was so lopsided. It was like B.J. Armstrong trying to take on a whole army of Arnold Schwarzeneggers. I mean, it was so ridiculous that in a sense there's no use even trying to exaggerate the contrast, because the contrast in itself is mighty and great. That's what Joshua faced. Now, think of what some of his options might have been, having been put into this predicament. He could have decided that what we should do is to have a town meeting and decide to go back into the desert. There's something safe about the desert. The desert didn't have a whole lot of battles. The desert was had its own lifestyle, yes, but at least you were not up against the fortifications of the Canaanites. Better to be thirsty in the desert, they could have reasoned, than to be dead in Canaan. Let's go back. You know, I may be speaking to some people who are in a desert today. You may feel as if you are a Christian, but you're wandering around in that desert. Maybe it's because you've been hurt by other people, you have been betrayed, you feel, by God. And so you're in a healing process, you're in a recovery process, and because we're a large church, we oftentimes have people who come, and oftentimes they slip in for the services, and they say that we just need to be healed before we're drawn into the congregation. And that's fine, but we hope that eventually the centrifugal force of our ministry will draw you in. But that would have been an option. Let's go back to the desert. The other possibility might have been partial obedience. He could have said to himself, let's try to live in Canaan along with the Jerichos and simply try to coexist. Let's make an agreement with them. We won't bother them too much if they don't bother us too much. I don't know about you, but I've lived like that. I've lived in that experience where we enjoy Jesus Christ, we enjoy the Word, but there may be a Jericho in my life that I don't want to really deal with. I want to just keep it there and say that it is too strong for me to tackle. I'll simply live with it. That would have been a possibility. The third option was to say, let's trust God and go for broke. Let us believe His promises. Let us do whatever is necessary to see the power of God, that we might be able to overcome the enemy. Now, the chief text today, as you may know, is verse 8. You shall meditate in the law of God day and night. Day and night in the Word of God. Now, let me ask this question. What would meditation do for Joshua anyway? What is the great thing? What is the great benefit that would come to him? Well, first of all, meditation would cleanse his mind. In other passages of Scripture, we find that out. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." When you think of all the impurities of the world, there is nothing that will keep our hearts as much as meditation and memorization of the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And Jesus said to the disciples, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. the cleansing, the washing of water by the Word. When you find your mind polluted by the things of this world, you can take the Word of God and read it chapter by chapter, and it will cleanse, and it will take out all the pollutants, and it will renew the mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the Word of God does. It will cleanse Joshua's mind and yours and mine. It will cleanse his mind. It would calm his mind. Calm his mind. Notice that the text uses that word courage a number of different times. It says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. In other words, let your inner world be calm. Be an island of tranquility, even if you are in the midst of an ocean of turbulence. Be tranquil. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Rivet your mind on God, so that no matter what happens to your ship, you know that your heart is always at port. Calmness. How does the Word of God do that? Well, one of the things that the Word of God does is it stimulates faith. It causes faith to grow. The Word comes by hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our great need, my great need, your great need is always faith. Always faith. Yes, my friend, today our great need is always faith. This is Pastor Lutzer. And one of the things that I've discovered, which is so true, is that without the Word of God continually in my mind, my faith leaves me. Today we say to ourselves, we have mountains of trouble. Prayed with someone yesterday who said that there were so many burdens upon her shoulders, a single mother. And I speak to you, single mothers, because your burdens are extraordinarily heavy. I speak to a man who was told that he has cancer, and he's given 3 months to live. And I was talking to him. He has extraordinary burdens. Where do we go when we want calmness of heart? That's the question. I have a friend whose wife died of cancer, and he said that what they did is they took the Word of God on records. This was years ago when they didn't have CDs, and they had records, and they played the scriptures, and those scriptures continually cleansed them and gave them calmness of heart. Why is it that we find it so difficult to meditate in the law of God? That is something that Satan does not want us to do. So we have excuses. We don't have time, or we don't know how. And we put up all of these barriers to the very cure that God has given to us for our deliverance, for our cleansing, for our calmness of heart. All right, friend, as soon as this broadcast is over, open your Bible, find some verses, memorize them, and begin the process now.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Next time on Running to Win, more on what the discipline of meditation is all about. This entire 5-part series on discipline can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.